Good afternoon, everybody. This is your host, Liz Peterson. Welcome to Raise the Vibe. So excited to have you here with me today. It's such a pleasure to be able to talk to all of these great island residents. And today I have one with me, chiropractor Dr. Michael Curtin in the studio with me today to discuss everything chiropractic, his business and his business here on Vashon. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello.
So great to have you with me here today.
Yes. Thanks. Good cool. to be here.
So I skipped the bio, so you can go ahead and tell us all about yourself for those Vashon people who aren't familiar with you and what you do.
Okay, I will.
Sweet.
My name is Dr. Michael Curtin. I'm a chiropractor here on Vashon. My bio. I'm originally a New Yorker. I'm from Long Island. Grew up in Amityville. The horror. Get out.
No
and,
way.
Yes. And I survived all that, and I'm doing just fine, actually.
Oh, good.
But I had gotten migraines when I was a little kid, like 8 or 9 years old, and I didn't know what they were. They were very debilitating. I would have to lie in a dark room and just wait it out, and I would get nauseous and throw up, and felt like my head hurt so much I couldn't lift it up, and couldn't figure out what it was. And then back then, we would go to the doctor, and, you know, of course, I didn't have the headache at the time, and they weren't really too familiar with it. And I had an atypical form, so I had a lot of neurological signs, which means that my hands and my arms got numb, and my tongue would get numb, and I would have aphasia, which means that I couldn't say what I wanted to, what I was thinking. So if I was thinking I wanted to say something else came out. And it was very disturbing for me. And so I called them my attacks. And, you know, again, the doctors didn't really. It's funny, doctors and grownups in general don't pay much attention to kids. It's, you know, if you bring your kid into the doctor's office, the doctor's probably going to talk to you and not the kid.
Yeah.
And so that's what was happening. And I would explain my attack, where I'd say, well, first my arm would get numb, then my face would get numb, my tongue would get numb, and I couldn't see. And he goes, well, you have it now? And I'm like, well, no. And he goes, and he'd shrug his shoulders. And that was it. And so that went on from before I was 10 years old. And it would happen periodically, last, you know, like a couple of days, like 2 days. And then I'd have to, and then it would just go away mysteriously. So starting at around age 10, so I'd had these attacks. And meanwhile, I'm going through my life, going to college and trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And then I ran into, finally I was in, I had become a medical lab technician, which was really fun learning how to do. But then when I got a job, it was, for me, it was miserable. I went from working with patients while I was studying for the job. I also worked as a nurse, as a nurse's aide. And so I was always with people, and I really enjoyed that. And then I enjoyed studying and learning about the body. And then when I got a job, I was a quality control tech in a lab. I was all alone. Nobody, I hardly spoke to anybody. It was just me and the people's parts and reagents. And then it was kind of like being a bartender all by yourself, because my as a quality control tech, I just made reagents to be used in the lab. And so it was, to me, it was miserably boring. And they made me wear nice clothes, and whenever I spill like acetic acid or something on my clothes, they were ruined. So right. it was just not fun for me. So while I was going through that, I decided that if you're going to be anything in the medical field, you might as well be a doctor. So I decided to go back to school, and that's where I met my first that's where I came in contact with chiropractic at first. Because in pre-med, I had two study buddies that were, you know, just really, really, really close to me. One was Debbie Lupo. She was an Italian from Long Island. And the other was Nikki. Oh, I can't think of it. No, it was Ricky. Ricky, I can't think of her name, but she was Jewish from Queens, and she's now a pediatrician in New York, and and Debbie's a chiropractor back in New York. And they really, the two of them really just changed my whole view on medicine altogether.
How'd they do that?
Well, we were studying for a test one time, and I had started getting one of my attacks. You know, a migraine was coming on. I'd have what they call the prodrome, which is it precedes, it's the harbinger of a migraine. Mm. And so, and that's, again, that's the neurological signs before the headache. And so I'm like, so I go, oh no, I'm getting my attack. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, it's my attack. It just happens every once in a while. And so I explained it. And Debbie, whose boyfriend was a chiropractor, which is why she was becoming a chiropractor, she goes, oh, that's a migraine. You just go to a chiropractor. And I was, that's my New York accent. And I was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, go see my boyfriend. And I'm like, he was kind of an idiot. So I didn't go see him. I went and found my own chiropractic physician. And from the very first adjustment, things had changed.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, when I had one of my attacks, I never had.
And how old were you? Like, how many years have you been struggling with this debilitating?
Well, yeah. The first time it happened, I was under maybe 9 years old. And then it was 28 when I found out about chiropractic. And so from the very first.
So many years to be struggling.
I know. And but from the very first, I was able to the headaches weren't as bad. I didn't have to throw up anymore.
Ooh, and that's always good.
Yeah, and they hardly happened at all.
God, that's incredible.
Yeah, so then
that's a huge shift, you know, after your first adjustment.
Oh my God, yeah. So it was very, and I was already doing the pre-med stuff. So I said, wow, I can just do this. And it turns out it's really fun for me. I really enjoy myself, which is really, really important. I mean, if you're going to do something for the rest of your life, you better think it's fun.
Yes, and you hadn't been enjoying what you had been doing before.
No.
So were you doing that through college? Or that was went to school, got this, and then went back to nursing and did that, and then went back to school?
Yeah, I kept going. I would go to, I went, after, first of all, I went to a prep high school on Long Island, prep seminary high school. And so that, like, really prepared me for higher education, and which is good, but I wasn't motivated at all until I found chiropractic. I was pretty much going to college because that's what everybody did. So when you're doing something and not motivated, then you wind up finding something else that's more motivational. And my first time out, what was more motivational was working as a bartender. So that was in upstate New York. And then, so I did that, and eventually...
Which is a great job. I mean,
it is a great job.
Such a great job.
Especially for an 18-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah,
who needs?
You're getting out there. The money's good.
Yeah.
We have different hours.
You get
Fantastic.
To party every night. Yeah.
Well, or the restaurant.
Yes.
In the early 20s.
Yes. Yeah, that enabled me to live like I had way more money than I thought I did.
Yeah.
So, and then basically, to answer your question, I went to different colleges because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be a nurse, so I did that. And that was actually, I enjoyed that a lot more because, again, it was with people.
Right.
And the most fun part about the medical profession is the people, you know. And so that's just what I really enjoy the most.
So how did you end up coming away from, you know, nursing, being on the floor and working with people to ending up in a lab?
The nursing job was something I picked up on the side while I was studying to be a lab technician.
Ah.
And this was in Miami, in beautiful Miami back in the
80s. Nice. What took you to Miami?
That's funny because I didn't know what to do.
Uh-huh.
Then this is a long time ago. I'm like 19, 20. It was.
Oh, your first time away from home?
Yes. It was totally my first time out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in a restaurant, a really nice restaurant, Italian restaurant. And then I got a mail, something in the mail, you know, it says, oh, you can go to learn to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, huh. And it was Miami and it was New York in the winter. And I'm like, okay, Miami, here I go. And that's how I wound up there. And that's how I found all the other things. It was kind of funny how my life has been, when I look back, it was all sort of laid out for me. And
I love how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really weird. And actually, when I was in Miami, my mom, who back in New York, told me that she had was in the city, which in New York, the city is New York City. She was walking down the sidewalk and a man came up to her and said, "Your oldest son," he goes like this. And she rubbed her hand over her face and he and she goes, "What?" And at the time I had a mustache. I used to do this all the time. And she goes, "And he's going to be a chiropractor." And so my mother quickly forgot about that.
That's a great little message, you know, out of the blue.
Some psychic comes up to her. And then he said it. He also said, "And it's going to be just outside of Denver," with those words. And
fascinating.
Yeah. So then what happened was years later, because my mom immediately forgot that happened. Uh-huh. And she told me years later while I was studying to be a lab tech that, "Oh yeah, that's right. This guy told me, this psychic came up and told me all about all kinds of things. And he mentioned your oldest son is going to be a chiropractor." And I was thinking, "Well, I wonder what a chiropractor is." And that was my little hint. Then it was years, like not many years, but a couple years later that I met Debbie and Ricky, and they're the ones that told me about chiropractic again. I was like, "Oh yeah, somebody mentioned that a long time ago."
Planted the seed.
Yes, the seed was there.
That's fine. So you're in Miami and you're going to school.
Yeah.
And you're bartending. Yeah.
I was working at the Rusty Pelican, which is on Key Biscayne. That there are many stories about that one, but that was fun. That was a fun time in my life. That was we would have lots and lots of we go crazy in school. I did really well in that college there because I studied really hard, and then we would go to have beach parties.
We
had one of the guys in our class had a Jeep, so we'd drive out on the beach and just, you know, like Fridays were test days. And so then Friday night we'd always go out and
blow off some steam.
Yes. Yes, exactly. to be young again.
Yes.
And so I forgot where I was going with that.
What your life was like in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Chiropractic.
It was pretty good. It was very busy. I liked it. Then, all things come to an end. I moved back to New York. And that's where I found out about chiropractic.
Okay.
So we're jumping around a little bit.
And so we've flown out of Miami. We're back in New York.
Yes, right.
What took you back to New York?
Mostly the fact that I graduated and I was done in Miami. And
okay.
And really, I was kind of done with Miami. Miami's a great town if you're very wealthy.
Right.
But if you're a starving student, it wasn't for me. Or unless you like living on the beach all the time, which is okay. But even after a while, you need to I felt like I needed to do something.
Right.
So came up to New York. And then that's when I ran into, you know, decided to change my major to pre-chiropractic from pre-med, which is exactly the same thing, by the way. it's the exact same thing. And then, nice. And it was through... So after I finished up with that, my friend Debbie was going to National College of Chiropractic in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and she said, "You should go there." I'm like, okay. So I applied to that one and got in and then spent 4 years in Chicago, which.
Wow.
Yeah. So I love
Chicago.
You did
quite a bit of traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also heard Colorado in there. Did you ever end up in Colorado like the psychic said?
You know what's funny is that's a different story. It's about how I got here.
Which oh, cool. Is, I can't wait to hear that story. But let's hear about Chicago first.
Okay. Well, Chicago. First of all, I really like Chicago. And I was there at a really good time when the Bears were really good. There's so many good things about Chicago. It's just a really good sports town. And the school, I was so excited to be doing what I knew I should be doing. And that was a kind of a key thing for me. Right away, it clicked in my head that this is what I should be doing. I found out who I am and what I should be doing. And so that really helps. So again, motivated, very motivated to work and do well, and so that helped me an awful lot. But that was, I graduated in 1988, so that's a while ago. And even with college, and especially in the medical field, mm-hmm. your education is kind of a training. It just prepares you for the time when you're like dumped out into the workforce.
Yes.
and really a lot of the work is a lot of the learning happens in the field. You know, they always talk about medicine as an art and a practice, art and a science, and it's the practice part that you do out with people. And you know, having been a chiropractor since 1988, I've seen a lot. You know, and I mean, and it's really different when you read about something, or even watch a video about something.
Right.
But when you see it and you have a person, then it just sticks in your head. And then the next time you see it, it's like, oh yeah, I know what this is, you know, and you know what to do.
You're pretty intuitive too.
I perhaps, yes. Mm-hmm. Let me think about that. Yeah. I
see
think
you.
So.
Michael is my chiropractor.
Yes.
I can plug Mike. Dr. Mike is great. Everybody go see Dr. Mike.
Yay. Thank you.
And of course, all the other chiropractors on the island are good as well. But, you know, since you're my chiropractor, I can say that.
Well, the other chiropractors are great. They seem to be dwindling, though. I mean,
yes, they are. I noticed that.
They're kind of not dwindling. They're moving to their other practices. They have practices off the island as well, and they're focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing. When I was in California, I was practicing in Northern California. I had a practice in San Rafael and another one in Sonoma.
Oh, interesting.
And that was before we moved here. And it's really difficult to have two little babies going at the same time. You know, you focus on one mm-hmm. and make that, you know, and that one starts doing better. And the more you focus on that one, the other one goes down. And so it's like this balancing act is really, really stressful. Anyway.
Okay. So you're in Chicago. You were
Chicago.
There for 4 years.
Yeah.
Graduated in 88.
Yep.
That's when I graduated high school.
Oh, nice. Awesome. And yeah, so then graduated in 88. And then it was like, well, where do I want to go now? Mm. And my brother was living in Berkeley.
Okay.
And I had gone out to visit him in California. And I remember the first time I ever went to California, I was like, whoa, this place is cool. This is where I want to be.
Yeah, I loved California. Yeah. I was there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I totally go back.
I remember, especially
right now.
It's funny because I feel like I spent all my time that I'm going to, you know what I mean? Now it's good
you're
to go
done.
Visit.
Right.
But again, I was done, you know. And the funny thing about California, I remember getting off the plane in Oakland and just feeling the vibe. And I was like, I was not even out of the airport. And I thought this place is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, that's a whole other story.
It does. It has a health vibe.
Yeah.
Now, what is that story? We have time.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, share.
All right. Well, California, when I graduated from chiropractic school mm-hmm. in 1988, I talked to my brother. He says, yeah, you got to come out. You can stay at my place until you get to your own place and you can set a practice here. And of course, prior to that, I had to do all my board certifications, that's just crazy, you know. Mm. And so I got certified in New York, Miami, Chicago, and California.
Wow, congratulations. That's great.
Well, I didn't know where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I figured
I'd
get all my licenses. And then that is just so much funny. It's so much fun. I mean, when you're taking the board exams in New York, everybody, New Yorkers are so neurotic. It's so funny. And they'll be the first ones to say that. Just like, oh my God, oh my God. And so you come in and they put everybody that's about to take their board exam in one giant room. And they're all sitting there cramming. And then they give out numbers. Everybody gets a number. And then and everybody's walking around trading numbers. It's like, can I go before you? Or I want to go last. It's like 300 people. And it's just like insane.
Wow.
It's like a nervous bomb. Everybody's just they're just sick to their stomach with nerves. And but anyway, so I did really well with that in that board because I was just super prepared. But I kind of knew I was never going to practice in New York. again. I grew up there. I knew I was done with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I wound up moving to from Chicago to the Bay Area, to my brother's place in Berkeley. And I remember the day I was leaving was the day of the earthquake.
Whoa.
The 89 earthquake.
Yeah.
And I remember
I was there for that.
Yeah, I missed it. I remember I was saying goodbye to a friend, and they had the TV on, and I'm like, hey, San Francisco's on TV, and I'm like, whoa, and I remember seeing the 880, and I'm like, that highway is two levels. It's supposed to be two levels. Something happened.
Yeah,
and that's when I found out about the earthquake.
It did. Yeah. Wow. I bet you were glad you weren't there during that.
Exciting. Yeah, I'm glad I was where I was. And then when I got there, 2 days after the earthquake, and everybody was in shock.
Yeah.
You know, everybody. It was really funny because you could tell I was driving from Sacramento down into the Bay Area. And once you left Sacramento and got closer and closer to the Bay Area, people started driving better. They were driving nice and polite, and I could tell something's really wrong here.
Wow.
And that's what it was. It was
I never thought that happened.
Yes. People were just in shock. So, and then, and my brother, he's such a character. He was working in the city during the earthquake, and so he described all that. But the whole time I was there, I they would have these aftershocks, and I didn't even notice them because I wasn't there for the big one. And so it just felt like I remember the one I felt, and everybody was like, earthquake, and they ran out of the house, and I'm like, what? I didn't feel it. Just felt like a big truck drove by.
Mm, little rumble for you.
Yeah. And
everybody's got their PTSD from living through the occurrence, so they're expecting the next one to
any minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you come home and you see all the cabinets open in the kitchen, and my brother would say there was an aftershock. And he goes, I'm like, how do you know? Because all the cabinets in the kitchen got shaken open.
Wow.
You know, and then I always had a lot of great times. So that my brother, while I was staying at his place in Berkeley, he was on a softball team in Oakland in the men's softball team, so he got me to play. And then I slid into second base and broke my leg.
Oh no.
So that was like a big put on the brakes.
Yeah, that's a definite put on the brakes moment.
Yeah, so that lasted for quite a while, but that was a good test for me, because it was, first of all, I don't recommend sliding into second base. I recommend sliding into the second base, but know what you're going to do. When I was getting ready to slide, I could see that the ball was getting to the second baseman. I thought maybe I won't slide, but I was already committed to it. So I caught my cleat and rolled right over my foot. And there was a big noise.
Ouch.
And people in the dugout just dialed 911 immediately. They heard it from second base.
Wow.
And so the ambulance took me to a hospital there in Oakland, and I met the orthopedic guy. Said, "Well, we can probably we'll need to pin it. You know, we'll get a couple screws in there. We'll do an operation. After a few months, we'll go back in and take the screws out." And I'm thinking, "Well, I just graduated from chiropractic school. I should probably do the natural thing." And so I said, "Well, no. Why don't we just cast it? You know, set it and cast it." And he was funny because he'd been doing so many of these surgeries. Mm-hmm. He didn't really know how to set it, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, that was kind of fun for the two of us. He was kind of pulling on my leg and he goes, "Does it look straight to you?" And I'm like, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes, "You know, it's going to take longer if you could do the series of casts." So the first cast was all the way up to my hip. And then, because I broke my tib and fib at the ankle. And then, and so then they consecutively got smaller and smaller and smaller, and I got to hang out in Berkeley.
And x-ray by x-ray, you got to watch your tibia and fibia
heal. Yeah, and heal fine.
Thanks.
And and then, so finally when I got to, when that was done, I had one more thing I had to do. Oh, I had to do, an X-ray certification. It's a license. It's an extra test for licensing in California. And that was very interesting. I was house sitting for somebody, and California gives you a little small phone book of all the things you need to know to take the test. You know, it's like, and I was reading that and just going over it. And I was house sitting for this guy that had a dog that was a husky. Mm-hmm. And I had my notes were in kind of like a leather bound thing, and the husky chewed all my notes.
They'll do that in your house.
Yes, and he chewed off a corner of the notes. So
my dog ate my homework.
So every time I turn the page, I'd have to imagine what the rest of the sentences were for the last.
Oh my gosh!
For the last.
So did you pass that? I'm guessing you passed it.
Yeah, I did.
And
you're
all set. You're healed. So what took you? So you had the two practices in California.
Yeah.
How long were you in California?
I was in California for a long time, probably about 20 years. Yeah.
So then, and then from California,
so from
went
88
to
from California, we came up here.
Okay.
And that's a.
So what brought you to Vashon? Everybody's got a really interesting what brought me to Vashon story.
Well, my version of the what brought me to Vashon story is a little different from my wife's, but it's the same story.
Okay.
So
everybody's experience is their own story.
So it's funny because I was feeling I was done with California, and that it was getting to be time to go. And we had, and of course we got married in California, my wife and I, and we met at a cleanup party for a friend who was, his mom was really sick, and a bunch of friends got together and were cleaning up their house.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so that's where I first met her. And, of course, she was seeing somebody else, and I was seeing somebody else. So it was just like, "Hi, how are you?" And, you know,
right.
And then we kept, you know, running into each other a couple times, and then finally we ran into each other when we were both available, and and we went out to on a date to a sushi place in San Francisco, and so I really didn't know much. So we're just, you know, it's like a first date. We're just asking questions. And I was like, "Oh, where did you go to college?" And she said, "Oswego." I'm like, "Upstate New York?" And she goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "I went there." I go, and she goes, "Really?" And I go, "What dorm are you in?" She said, "Oneida Hall." And I was like, "I went there."
No way.
And she goes,
crossing paths.
Yes. And so she goes, "What year did you go?" I go, 1973. And she goes, "I was one." She's 17 years younger than I am. So it was,
I was one.
So I'm thinking, well, that's probably the end of this little relationship. But
crossing paths 17 years later.
But apparently it all worked out. And so
we
married, and we had two kids. And so Logan first.
You have lovely kids.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. And then Marielle second. So when Marielle was 2 weeks old, Melissa, my wife, had an aortic dissection, which is a very, most people die from it.
Wow.
And it's a condition where your aortic artery, just as it exits the heart, the wall tears. Mm-hmm. And if it's a complete tear, you basically bleed out. And hers was not. And so, but it tore extensively. It tore all the way through her thoracic aorta into her femoral arteries, up into her carotid artery, and the subclavian artery on the right tore into her arm. So it was really very dramatic. And I remember.
That's extensive. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad she's still here.
Yeah, I know. It was really close. A lot of people didn't make it.
No, I had no idea.
And so that. And I totally remember that day. I was having lunch with somebody at an acupuncturist in Sonoma, in the town of Sonoma. And she was, I got a text from her phone. And she was basically said, "I don't feel well." And then handed the phone to somebody else. I said, "Your wife is really sick. You got to come over." And she said, "We dialed 911. I'm like, "Okay, I'm on my way." Mm-hmm. And so when I got there, she was kind of, you know, just sick, you know.
This is in the hospital?
No, this was still in the coffee house.
Okay.
And then the emergency room, the ER folks came, and I can remember I remember looking down, see her toenails were blue. She had sandals on. This is California, of course.
Yes.
not bogs. But and I was like, oh no, that's not good. And then I could see that she was going in and out of consciousness. Not that she was passed out, but her eyes would go blank, you know, that she wasn't seeing.
Oh, scary.
And so they took her, and I took the baby, who was 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And so I pushed the baby. I went, pushed the baby home, got in the car, brought the baby with me, and went to Kaiser Hospital in Santa Rosa, and then just waited to figure out what was going on.
Right.
And they didn't really know what was happening. We, you know, it could have been a couple of things, but they were doing a lot of tests trying to figure out what was going on. The biggest thing, what was showing up, was really, really high blood pressure on one arm and really low on the other. And she was funny. It was, she had the telltale sign of the whole thing was that she was experiencing ripping, tearing pain down her back. But she couldn't tell them that. Had she mentioned that to somebody, they will, it's a AAA. It's an aortic artery aneurysm. But anyway, so I remember the emergency room, and then plus I'm holding the little baby in the emergency room, and I'm just like, what, you know, just waiting, and then looking, and you know, go in and take a look and see how she is, and the ER doc, and she was awesome. She just came out and said, "Oh, we have good news and bad news," and I'm like, "Okay, what's the bad news?" Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Well, we know what it is," and she told me it's an aortic aneurysm. And I'm like, okay, there's nothing you can do for that. Because I knew that. There wasn't anything that they could do for that.
Right.
That's usually just how people die. And she goes, no, but there is, but we can help her. We're going to fly her to Stanford and a little helicopter ride to Stanford. And I'm like, what are they going to do? And she goes, I don't know. I think they glue it. She didn't, you know. And what had happened, over in the cardiology at Stanford, they came up with a little latex tube they graft over the artery, and it actually grows into the artery and repairs it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was pretty, and it was really funny. The head of cardiology, his name was Dr. Wright. I was like, that's a sign.
Yes.
So she flew in the helicopter, and I drove with my sister-in-law's boyfriend down to Stanford. And, you know, we're up all night waiting. You know, she was in the OR for a long time. I think it was 6 or 8 hours. And finally, she got out of it. And I love Stanford. It's really good. I remember, you know, when... You know, growing up on Long Island, you don't you always want to be cool. You don't want to be a nerd. But and then after I got to Stanford, I found out this is where all the nerds go, because this is where everybody that studies, they grow up to be a professional at Stanford. And I just really am so grateful.
I bet.
Yeah,
and I would be grateful too. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, this is still leading up to how we got to Vashon.
Okay.
So she comes to, and she was pretty much unconscious for the majority of this.
Right.
And she wakes up, and her family's all there. They all flew out from New York. And I remember her sister telling me a story that she called the hospital. And she goes, well, how is she? And the nurse at the hospital said, well, if you ever want to see her again, you should come out.
Oh, my gosh. That is horrible.
Like, she's got to go
back. That's terrible bedside manner.
She needs a little training, that one. But so everybody flew out. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, she told the whole family. And so Melissa wakes up with everybody from New York around the bed. And
that's wonderful, though.
Yeah. And
it's a good thing.
And she's like, am I in New York? And and it was really funny, because I remember her mom, we're going up in the elevator, and I guess I picked her up. Somebody picked her up from the airport, and so I'm coaching her mom, you know, in the elevator. So, so you know, she wasn't conscious yet, and I go, well, she looks kind of a little bit scared with tubes and everything, and she was not conscious, and you know, she can hear what you're saying, so just be, you know, kind of coach her and be strong. And I'm telling her mom. And then we walk in and, you know, and I'm expecting her to like say lots of optimistic, positive things. And her poor mom, she walks in and she just puts her hand on Melissa's arm and just wails, "Oh, my baby," and starts crying. And it's like, "Oh, my God, look at her." And I'm like, you know, I mean, it is kind of shocking, but yeah. I'm thinking that's not what we want to do right now. We're trying to, you know, raise the energy. And but that's okay. That's me trying to control the situation, right? So, you know, you just let it happen. I'm living it. I'm not creating it. Mm-hmm. Well, some people can complain, can talk about that too. But anyway, so she obviously came through it. She fought the battle, you know, and survived, which was pretty rare. You know, there is a really low 10-year survival rate.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And it's mostly because it happens to older men who have heart disease. It hardly ever happens to women of childbearing age. And it does happen, mm-hmm. but it's pretty rare. It's a different kind of thing. It's has more of a genetic predisposition and that type of thing, rather than drinking and smoking your heart to death,
right?
Which is usually what happens to guys that have this condition. So she, you know, we make it through that, and at some point, I'm trying to think of how we found out about. We all took this as a sign that it was time for us to do something different. And we were, you know, figuring we needed to move out of Sonoma, where we owned the world's smallest $500,000 home with the world's smallest large screen TV.
Yes.
And it was really, really a bungalow for a lot of money. And so so Melissa spoke to this psychic in San Diego. And she was talking about moving, you know, it's like, you know, she's really, this is time to reset what we're doing. And
to check in with the psychic as we do.
Yeah. And the psychic was really, really interesting. Talked about energy fields and colors and stuff like that.
Fun.
But, excuse me, she suggested three places. One was in the area of Coeur d'Alene.
Uh-huh.
The other was just outside of Denver, which was, for me, I heard that same
sentence before,
just outside of Denver. And then the other one was southwest of Seattle. And so we all, when she was ready, we piled in the car and flew out to Denver with the kids. And we had fun, but it was too far from the ocean. So, and I figured, honey, you head up to, I'll hold things down. You go up to Seattle, figure out what we can find up there. And so she made a trip up here. And I remember her sending me, and she looked all around Tacoma and parts like that. And I remember her texting me, and I was with a patient. And she says, "I found out where we're going to be." And she was driving up Vashon Highway from the ferry on Tahlequah, and she kind of had the phone through out the sunroof doing a video driving down. I was like, cool. And it was really, I moved here without even ever being here before. Mm-hmm. And we got a friend that she had met on the trip to get us a house, to rent us a house. So we just all came up here and moved into our house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a great place to land. And that was, 9 years ago we were talking about before the show?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was really like a meant to be kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
For me, totally.
Yeah, it really sounds like, you know, as it does, things line up and lead you to where you're supposed to be and learn the lessons and get your education and meet your wife and,
Totally.
Have these experiences and, you know, learn new places to be and find them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty awesome. And then once we got here, That was funny because we moved up here before we were ready. I mean, we were mentally ready, but I still had two practices in California and no license to practice in Washington.
You got a license every other state, but
yeah,
Washington.
But not Washington. So gratefully, I had been practicing for long enough at that time that there was actually reciprocity, which is really interesting because California extends no reciprocity to anyone, any other state. So most other states don't extend it back as a courtesy. But as it turned out, because I was practicing for so many years in California, they were like, okay, you can do it here.
Awesome.
So that was really cool. But it still took time. Yeah. And I had to sell my practices in California.
Right.
So for the first few months, it was quite a few months, I was commuting to California. So
wow.
I'd be here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Uh-huh. And then Monday morning, I'd hop on the boat to the bus, to the plane.
That is a long commute.
Yes. To another bus.
Don't whine about commuting to Seattle.
Nope, no more. Commuting to Marin.
That's a lot longer.
Yeah. I get up at 5 and get there at 10 for my 10 o'clock.
Wow.
Version. Yeah.
And that's incredible. How long did you do that?
Probably 6 months, maybe more. Melissa would know for sure because she had to hold everything down here.
Yeah.
With two little kids.
Like a little baby.
And a dog.
Yeah.
And me, I was just, you know, adjusting people, which is fun for me, and mm-hmm. then sleeping on a friend's couch.
Wow. Okay. So you're up here, you sell your businesses down in California, and I met you at the hardware store restaurant when I started in November 2015.
You
were working there, so that was where I met you the first time. You're awesome,
and that
to work with, you're a great guy.
That's how I while I was waiting to get my license in Washington, I was like, you know, I got to do something, and I had just sold the other practices, not for a lot of money, because it was at the worst time of the economy. And really at a point I was just like, here's somebody, I wanted to give them to somebody that was going to take good care of them.
Yeah.
And so up here, I went to the hardware store to see if I can get a job. And Melinda was just gracious and, you know, just amazing. And actually, honestly, the hardware store for me working, so I had worked in restaurants in New York, Chicago, Miami, all over, ever since I was 15.
Mm-hmm. And I have that same story.
And she,
it's a great fallback job.
Yeah. Oh my God. It saved my life so many times.
Yeah, me too.
And but I have to say, Melinda, the just the energy and the culture at the hardware store was really, really good.
You meet so many people.
Yeah.
And it's a way to really get into the community.
Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
she really created that space beautifully.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was there back when Alex was the manager. Actually, before that, it was with Amy Nelson.
Okay.
And she was the manager. And so that was a while ago. But anyway, that, again, that was my introduction into Vashon, the Vashon social world.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
So where is your office?
My office is in the little gray house across from Subway Sandwiches on Vashon Highway.
Awesome.
And that little, there's a really cool little house.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. It's next to Luna Bella.
I love it. It has great energy.
Yeah. It's awesome. And actually that this is a funny story. I was in my office in the little house, and there's a crowd of people on the sidewalk out in front, but they're not coming in. And this guy's talking to me. So he's doing the little tour of Vashon they do.
Oh, okay.
So I'm listening in. I found out that little house was one of the first residences in town. And it, so that house and Luna Bella were built together 100 years ago.
Wow.
And the house was the home of the Undertaker.
Yes.
It was the Undertaker's family's house. And then the Luna Bella was I guess it wasn't a morgue, but it was like a mortuary.
Yes.
And it's so funny because I was thinking right away, I was like, oh my God, there must be ghosts. But there are none. It was just this wonderful.
I never sense any when I'm in there.
Very, very positive, you know.
It's a sweet space.
Yeah. And I think, I think a lot of it has to do with it was before I was there. It was the Women's Health Center.
Yes.
And that had some real...
Yeah, I used to go there when it was that, too.
Yeah, that had some really, really very, very positive energy.
Definitely.
And I think that's still there. And it's Kimberly Shear. She did that.
Yep.
And so I lucked out, you know.
Yeah,
so I
had
this great spot.
And you work out of two rooms. You also have another room, massage therapy.
Yeah.
Is also in the same building.
Yeah, we have two massage therapy rooms.
Oh, okay.
And in the one room Alice Kellogg works. And the other room.
Oh, that's right. There's four.
Yeah.
Now that I'm visualizing it.
Yeah. The other room is Sally Ammon, Monica Gripman, and Scott Strawn. And so.
Oh, great. You have a great team of people working there.
They're really good. Yeah. So I'm really, it's just cool. A great little spot.
And how do people get a hold of you?
Absolutely the best way to get me is by texting.
Okay.
And absolutely the worst way to get me is by email. Because by the end of the day,
I just
I work and then get home and then there's dinner and the kids and blah. And so by the time I get on the internet, it's 9 o'clock or 10.
Would you mind sharing your number with everybody so they can find you?
My number is 206-300-1931.
Great. And who on Vashon can come see you? Like, who do you recommend? Who are your patients? Who benefits and why?
Well, chiropractic, what's interesting about chiropractic is a natural healing modality is it works with your body's own ability to heal itself because our body's designed as a self-healing, self-regulating organism. And anybody who can do that will benefit from it. And so basically chiropractic enables your brain to talk to your body to organize and control the healing, the healing response. It's kind of pretty straightforward. What I do is I look for vertebrae that are misaligned that could be impeding the messages coming from your brain to your body. And chiropractic got in trouble, you know, in the 1880s when it was first discovered, I guess is the best way to put it, by this guy, D.D. Palmer in Davenport, Iowa. He was a magnetic healer, which is kind of like polarity today.
Oh,
you know, okay. You know, and basically he would lay hands on, if somebody had hepatitis, he'd put one hand on top of the liver, one on the bottom, and he'd run life force energy from the universe through
That's what I do.
And and so people think that's not scientific. And so, what had
like
happened?
Like acupuncture without the needles.
Yes.
Hello.
So what had happened was he had a janitor in his office in Davenport, Iowa, named Harvey Lillard, who was deaf, and he had a bump on his neck. And so he thought, I should reduce the bump. So he started pushing on the bump, and he heard a pop, and he restored his hearing. So he thought,
Oh, wow.
Something's happening here. I got something. But so that discovery, really, he tried to describe what happened using his philosophy for magnetic healing. And basically that is that you have inside your body an innate intelligence, an inner organizing force, which is an extension of universal intelligence. And that's the organizing force outside of the body. And that energy is what allows your body to heal.
Yes.
And chiropractic is just allowing that energy to flow more freely. So that in itself is not necessarily a problem for scientists. But back then they started calling it she. Innate was the goddess. Or they'd say innate intelligence or just call it innate with a capital I, or Mother Nature, because that's what they were thinking
right.
It was. So that was just downright not scientific.
Yes.
But it was working, and it worked for years and years and years, and then it was all about this race to find out why it works. And the race was only happening in the chiropractic profession, actually. But in the meantime, you know, chiropractic wound up being the first profession to find a use for x-rays. B.J. Palmer, the son of the founder, was really a remarkable fellow. He had the first TV station west of the Mississippi, the first radio station west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
And a young Ronald Reagan was his disc jockey or his announcer. and he was on the board of CBS, one of the founding members of Columbia Broadcasting Association. So whatever S stands for. And so chiropractic is really a very interesting, I could go on, I talk. But who it can help is anybody who has enough life force energy to heal themselves, basically.
Right.
You know, if people that have a problem with it, if the main thing is if the problem's been around for a long time, it takes longer to get better. Mm-hmm. And if the person is older, it takes them longer to get better.
Plus, when a body is used to being in a certain position, it, after a couple of days, will slide back into that position. It has to remember.
Yeah.
Where it used to be, what was the correct position to be in, you know, if it's been there for so long.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like creating a new synopsis in the brain.
Yeah.
You have to remind the body, you know, what was that healthy position?
Well, your body's found a place of adaptation, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, we're good here. You know, this is safe. It can't get worse. We're stable. But the person's in pain still, but it can't get worse. So then when you come in, now we start moving things around and you create instability so that the body can improve. You know what
awesome.
I mean? Because stability is fixated or stuck. This is as good as you're going to get unless we do something to start the body to improve and do better.
And then you do the adjustment. Mm-hmm. You've got the person in that healing space. You know, you freed up the nervous system. The energy is flowing again through the nervous system. And then it's,
well, then it's up to the body. Then the body has to do the thing. And it's up to the doctor not to do too much. You know, in the old traditional chiropractic, they have all these sayings. And one of them is less is more, you know. And you want to, if somebody comes in with neck pain and tingling down their arm, I want to focus on their neck, even though I find misalignments in the lower back and things like that. Mm-hmm. I want to have the body's focus be on the neck. Because if you would, you know, there's times when you can just everything and you disperse all the focus. And so we just want to allow the body to work on the project that it has to work on.
Yes.
You know, so it's really easy for me.
You're working with the healing process. I think that is a beautiful career.
Yeah. And it's really great. And what's really good about it is I'm not the one that's healing. Your body's healing. So I'm off the hook for a lot. All I have to do is help it, you know, because, I mean, you know, no matter how many years you have in training and education, it doesn't compare at all to the body's evolutionary wisdom on how to fix itself. Mm-hmm. So I just try not to get in and create too many distractions from the body's healing process.
Nice.
You know, and in the old school chiropractors, they used to talk about that's called monkeying. Don't monkey with the spine. Just do what you need to do, and less is more, and adjust it and leave it alone, and the body will heal itself. And that's basically the approach for somebody who's observing the healing process, somebody who's, you know, witnessing the healing process.
Wonderful.
Because our body's what does it. The innate intelligence.
Yes. What can someone expect when they come into your office?
Basically, you come in and first call and make an appointment. Then you'll come in and then there's like a nice little living room, and you just have a seat and I'll be with you in a second. And I give you a little clipboard, you fill out some papers, and it's not a lot of papers, just a couple. And then I talk. Then you tell me what's going on and I listen, and then I do an exam, and then I explain a little bit about what we do, and then we do some adjusting right there. The first visit takes about an hour.
Mm-hmm. And it's really nice. I like that you start me off laying down and you put a nice warm...
The hot pack.
The hot pack on my back. It's really nice to heal my spine before you adjust it.
It's really... That whole, the hot pack is kind of a ceremony in a way, but I mean, obviously it has therapeutic effects, but it puts people in the right brain space, you know? You know, for some people, you know, chiropractic can be really scary. You know, I try to be as honest as I can. You know, like, is this going to hurt? And I'm like, for you, probably not. And then for somebody else, maybe a little, you know, and stuff like that. It's not, I always remember going to the dentist and they say, this is going to pinch. And it's like, yeah, what do you stick a needle into my brain? That's not pinching. That's a lot of pain. So I don't like, you know, surprising people.
That's nice. You have a nice bedside manner.
Thank you.
You know, working with your patients for sure.
And it's because I like it. Mm. I like my patients.
Yeah, you're really informative and let us know what's going on and, you know, what you're going to adjust when and
if
what's it going to be like.
Yeah. If anything, I talk too much.
For somebody who is afraid of chiropractic, what would you say to them?
I have many tools in my toolbox, you know. It's just not the big rock 'em, crack 'em thing. Mm-hmm. There's lots more other things I can do that are a lot more gentle. And I have patients that, you know, that are like, you know, that scares me. Please just be, you know, and I find other ways to do it. It's just that simple, you know. And for most people, we can make it work.
Great.
Yeah.
And so we've answered, does it hurt? Is it safe? How is it effective? And what is the purpose?
Again, the purpose is to allow your body to heal itself. It's effective. Like I was mentioning before, if the problem's been around for a long time, it'll take a long time to get better. If the person is older, it'll take a long time to get better. If the person is not very active, it'll take a long time to get better. And then lastly, if the person's depressed, it's going to take a long time. So if you're young with a new problem and you're very active and you have a positive mindset, you'll be healed very quickly. It's, you know, and the thing is, chiropractic is a part of the picture. You know, it's it works really well with physical therapy and massage and OT, occupational therapy. It's, you know, it's the healing process is a process. It's a big circle, and there's you can enter it at any time. I always think of the Krebs cycle, which of course nobody else understands. but you can enter it at any time.
I brought my babies to see a chiropractor.
Oh, you know, yeah.
After they were born. I went to the chiropractor when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I think it also helps for just basic maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, like making that appointment to the massage therapist once a month, your chiropractor once a month.
Or, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Babies do great.
Checking with your alignment.
Yeah.
Yeah. My babies loved it.
Yeah. They get there because they're growing, they're moving. There's so much momentum in them already. And it just takes such a little bit, just like a touch.
Just a little.
Yeah. and they're just on their way. And then, and with pregnancy is such a stressful. There's so much going on in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it helps again because things are moving, things mm-hmm. are changing and transforming. And once that momentum's there, it's pretty easy to just kind of push it in another direction or something like that. A lot of times I'll have for pregnant, for moms that are having babies, I usually, it's either low back pain or, mm-hmm. Or a lot of times we'd have, the baby's in a bad position and we can change the position of the baby.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just by changing the pelvis, and that changes the shape of the uterus, and then the baby goes to the position it needs to be.
It really is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's amazing as the human body. That's the thing. You know, chiropractic itself is fairly amazing, but what's amazing is the human body. Yeah.
I can tell you really, really, really love your work.
I do. It's cool. Fun. It's so much more fun.
Dr. Mike, it has been so great talking with you today. I've learned so much about you. And I hope that Vashon enjoys getting to know who you are and where you are in the community and come and see you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Liz Peterson on Raise the Vibe. Have a great day, everybody. And remember to get out there and raise the vibe. Thanks for joining me, everyone.